So it's text 2 today? Is that right? Lady means next, right? But that means tomorrow. I thought it meant today. What's that? Sledi. Tathaiva Rajan, Tathaiva Rajanurugra Hameda Garhameda. Tathaiva Rajanuru Garha Medam Pitana Vidyoru Vijimbiteshu Naveda Vadeshu Hitatvavadak Prayena sudo nuta chakasti sadhu. Tathaiva rajan rugar hameda. Vitana vidyoru vijimbiteshu. Veda Vadeshu Hitatva Vada Prayena Shudo Nu Chat Kasti Sadhu. Ladies, therefore, eva, indeed, Rajan, O King, Urugarha Meda, rituals related to material household life, Vitana Vidya, in knowledge that expands. Uru, greatly. Vijambiteshu, among those interested. Na, not. Veda Vadeshu, who speak the version of the Vedas. He, indeed. Tathavada, or Tattva-vada, the spiritual science, prayena, almost always, shuddha, freed from all contaminated activities. Nu, indeed, chakasti, appear, Sadhu, person who is advanced in devotional service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Purport. In this verse, two words are significant. Veda Vada and Tattva Vada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Veda Vada Rata. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschita vedavata rataparata nanyam asiti vadina karmatmaka swagapura janmakaram palapradam kriya visheshu baholam pokaishvaryakitim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resulting good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Bhagavad Gita 2:42-43. The Vedavata followers of the Vedas are generally inclined to karmakanda, the performance of sacrifice according to the Vedic injunctions. They are therefore promoted to higher planetary systems. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system. Akshayam ha va Chaturmasyu yajina sukritam bhavati. One who performs the Chaturmasya yagya becomes pious. By becoming pious, one may be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Urdvam gacchati sattvasta. Some of the followers of the Vedas are attached to karmakanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas, in order to be promoted to a higher standard of life. Others argue that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. Tad yataiveha karmajita loka Shiyate evam evam utra punya jita loka shiyate. In this world, someone may be very highly elevated by taking birth in an aristocratic family, by being well educated, beautiful, or very rich. These are gifts for pious activities enacted in the past life. However, these will be finished when the stock of pious activities is finished. We become attached to pious activities. We may get these various worldly facilities in the next life, may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all this will eventually be finished. Shine punye marte loka vishanti. Bhagavad Gita 9:21. When the stock of pious activities is finished, one again has to come to this Martya Loka. According to the Vedic injunctions, the performance of pious activity is not really the objective of the Vedas. The objective of the Vedas is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedais cha savaraham eva vedya. The objective of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge. And those who are followers of Jnanakanda, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana and accepts the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes perfect. Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. In the Vedas, the worship of different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned. But such worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Ite vidu swarthi gatim hi Vishnu. One comes to the platform of Vishnur, Aradhanam, or Bhakti Yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is not a Tattvavadi, but a Vedavadi, a blind follower of the Vedic injunctions. The Vedavadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a Tattvavadi. That is, one who knows Tattva, the absolute truth. Tattva is also experienced in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. Even after finishing to the platform of understanding Tattva, one must worship Bhagavan, Vishnu and his expansions, or one is not yet perfect. Bonam janmanamante jnana van man prapadyate. After many births, one who is actually acknowledged surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that unintelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Brahman or Paramatma. But after studying the Vedas and obtaining the understanding of the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. So the text again. Tataiva rajan nuru garhameda vitana vidyoru vijimbiteshu naveda vadeshu hitatvavada prayena shudonu chakasti sadhu. My dear king talks of the relationship between the master and the servant. The king and the subject and so forth are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices, placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristaya Bhuta Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyate Sitarane. Just as a point of information, these books are available. This is called Hope This Meets You in Good Health. It's a compilation of quotes, lectures, stories about health from Prabhupada and from the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as essays that I wrote about health. So this is available in the bookstore here, or for me also. Here it mentions that we should become Tattvavadis rather than Veda Vatarati. So Veda means knowledge, and in the Vedas there is declaration of how to live in the material world and get what we want. So some people consider that knowledge. But actually, that kind of knowledge is simply another phase of ignorance, because it's all based upon a misconception that we're this body, or that by making the body comfortable and happy, then we'll achieve some success in life. But here it mentions that the problem is that whatever we're able to achieve through trying to help the body become happy and comfortable is only temporary. Of course, I just have this book here called Hope This Meets You in Good Health, so it seems that it's a contradiction. No, we're trying to keep good health so that we can perform devotional service. It's not that we're against the material world or everything that goes on in the material world, but we don't take the objective to simply make ourselves comfortable in the material world. because no one can be comfortable here forever. But we make ourselves, the objective is to become Krishna conscious, and if by being comfortable that will help, then we also accept that. Or by being discomfortable, that will help. We also accept that. Now, Brahma, at the beginning of the universe, he was comfortably sitting on the lotus flower. But he felt uncomfortable because he didn't know why he got on the, how he got onto the lowest lotus flower. He couldn't remember. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what was going on. And that invoked his curiosity. I imagine probably if any one of us was sitting on a lotus flower and everything was dark, and you didn't know where you came from, you'd probably ask, what's going on here? So he was interested. There's no way else to go to find out but down. So he went down. And before he could get down, all the way down, he heard the words, tapaha, which means austerity. Actually, tapa means to heat up. To get into the fire. Right now in the material world, we're not in the fire because material nature is quite dull. So to get into the fire of higher consciousness, he sat down and he tried to control his mind. Because relatively speaking, it should have been easier for Brahma because there was nothing going on. He wasn't distracted by the internet. He wasn't distracted by the latest newspaper stories. He wasn't distracted because there's nothing to distract him. And yet it took him, I forget how many thousands of years of the demigods, to control his mind. And then when his mind was controlled, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita chitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. Therefore, one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So this is a platform of liberation. When we're actually getting knowledge coming from the super soul. It doesn't mean that we merge in the super soul. It means that we'll simply become conscious of what actually the super soul is telling us. The super soul, he talks to the devotees, but also Maya talks to the aspiring devotees also. So sometimes we hear the super soul and we think we're liberated. We take all the credit for how advanced we are, how intelligent we are, with how many verses we can remember. How I always get everything right, even when everyone else thinks it's wrong, because I'm in touch with the super soul. But we're also in touch with Maya, yoga, chalati, manasa. And if we want to see whether or not we're in touch with Maya, there's a very simple test. All we do is have to ask, do I identify myself with this body or this mind to any degree? And if the answer is yes, we can be assured we're in touch with the illusory energy, at least to some degree. We're not quite liberated yet. So in order to become liberated, there has to be some kind of regulation. Hiranyakashipu, he also regulated his life. As a matter of fact, he stood on the tip of his toes with his arms raised out for 120 years of the demigods. So that's quite a regulation. If someone said, you can reach perfection, and there's one easy exercise you have to do. You don't have to do all the yoga exercises. Just do this one exercise, and you'll reach perfection. It may take a little while. But just raise your hands up, stand at the tip of your toes, and just wait. The perfection will come. It may take a little while. You may find yourself a little in some inconveniences, especially when the ants start eating your skin, your flesh, your muscles, and your brain. As I said before, if you had a brain, you probably wouldn't be trying for that perfection anyhow. In any case, that's a regulation. And we all we can follow the footsteps of Hiranyakashipu, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. And we can also become as powerful as he is. Lord Brahma will probably come when the fire from our skulls reaches the heavenly planets, which may take a while. And Brahma will come, splash us with some water from his Kamadulu pot, and we'll get a body as immortal as Hiranyakashipu. And Krishna will come and probably rip us apart too. But in any case, that's regulation. So everything begins with regulation. Regulating the senses. Generally the senses are control of the conditioned soul, but even a little attempt to control the senses bring us into little contact with the super soul. The example I've given many times is that if a beautiful man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman, then the mind says, go get her. And the senses said, yeah, that's a good idea. She's the one. And then the intelligence, if there is any intelligence, says, beep, beep, wait a second. What for? The mind and senses say, well, she has a dot on her forehead, and I think if you go on the internet, it may mean something. I think you read some book or something some years ago. I think it was Bhagavad something. And says that she might be married. Oh, don't listen to that crazy intelligence always coming up with these wild ideas. Says the mind senses to the soul. You don't have time. Just go for her. The philosophy is, if you think it's going to feel good, then you just do it. So the soul, he actually makes the decision. Of course, if there's no intelligence, there's not much of a decision to make, because he just follows the mind and the senses. And therefore, the soul tells the intelligence, whatever there is, think of a plan how to meet her. So the intelligence says, write her a letter, tell her she's the most beautiful thing you've seen, and then put in small letters, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her. She should meet you in such and such time, at such and such place, and you'll give her the sun and the moon, and if she's nice to you, you'll throw in a few extra stars. But she has a man next to her, and so therefore don't sign the letter, because he's twice as big as you are. So in this way, the intelligence becomes a servant of the mind and senses, making plans for sense gratification. But if one is a devotee and sees that same lady and this man, then instead of making plans how to meet this lady, he'll go up to that lady and the man with a Bhagavad Gita or a hope this meets you in good health. And give them the book and tell them about the book and then ask them for a donation. So this is called using intelligence to use the mind and senses in Krishna's service. So this is the liberated platform. Same intelligence is there. One intelligence is covered and being directed by the illusory energy, the other intelligence brings us in contact with the super soul. And so then we become an instrument for the super soul rather than an instrument for illusion. We ourselves were 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, which is quite small when you think about it. But our illusion is much bigger than ourselves. Therefore, we need a little knowledge. So the knowledge begins with that we're not the doer, either of the material activities or even of the spiritual activities. In either case, if we act, we desire, because everything is based on desire, if we desire material activities, then the material nature, under Krishna's direction, manifests material activities for ourselves, which we suffer or enjoy. Or if we desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna will manifest spiritual activities. Spiritual energy will manifest activities which we'll enjoy transcendentally. In any case, we're not the doer, and it's simply our choice. Of course, there is no choice if we don't hear. As a matter of fact, generally speaking, people are always engaged in hearing. They're generally not hearing the Vedas in this age, nor are they hearing about Krishna consciousness. What they're hearing about is simply animal life. There's really no need for all this hearing, going to school, for instance. People go to school and basically learning nothing of any importance. Nothing of any real that will help one elevate oneself beyond illusion. We may learn about who was the king of Slovenia, and so many years ago, how many wars it fought in, how the different places were exchanged. In other words, most of the knowledge is this knowledge about people who are crazy like we are, and how they manifested crazy activities in the past. And there is some speculation about what kind of crazy activities people will do in the future. How they'll eat, how they'll sleep, how they'll mate, and how they'll defend. So this is called knowledge. The same knowledge of the animals are generally more expert. But there is knowledge called the Vedas. How to regulate the senses. The beginning of that knowledge is generally considered the varna and ashram system, some regulation. Under the direction of Krishna, and the result of such regulation is improving one's material existence. That's the impetus. Everyone wants to be happy, and improving one's material existence is a kind of happiness, or at least freedom from distress. The main distress in the material world is an empty stomach. So, varna and ashram solve that problem in the simplest way. By performance of sacrifice, directed properly by the Brahmins who know how to worship the Supreme Lord and the demigods, Krishna says, everything we need will be provided for us. Devan bhavayata dena te deva bhavayantuva parashparam bhavayantak shek param avapsita. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods provide all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So by this deva jaga, but was ultimately worshipping Krishna, following his instructions, nice food, clean air, nice water, even how to relate to people in a gentlemanly and ladylike way, how to have a civilization. So that's all in the Vedas. And by following the Vedas, one will actually see that the seasons become regulated, the rain comes, crops are grown more easily, prosperity is actually there, the prosperity not of a new iPhone or iPod, prosperity of good food, clean air, fresh water, nice relationships, peaceful life. And then, inspired by practical experience of how the Vedas actually are working, they actually give the results, auspicious results, then one may go further into studying other kinds of sacrifices being offered, such as elevation to heavenly planets, etc. So that requires even more regulation of the senses. One cannot take intoxication, eat meat, gamble, or take intoxication and expect to go to the heavenly planets. One has to follow strict principles and dedicate one's energies to the service of the demigods, who are actually representatives of Krishna. Then one might be qualified to go to the heavenly planets. And while in the heavenly planets, one may associate with mystic yogis and become inspired to go higher and higher to Maharaloka, to Janaloka, to Tapaloka, to Siddhaloka, and even up to Brahmaloka by the appropriate sacrifices. But all these things are considered to be ultimately not a complete waste of time, because from Brahmaloka one may even go up to the Vaikuntha Loka if one has the proper attitude, the proper motivation, the proper association, is willing to make the proper sacrifices. One can even go to the Vaikuntha Loka planets. But generally people are interested in simply temporary benefits. Because it says here, Natevidu Swarthikitim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the ultimate goal of the Vedas is Krishna. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Knowing everything doesn't mean you'll know who's going to win the lottery or who's going to win the horse race, Kentucky Derby. Sometimes devotees think, well, the soul in his original position knows everything. No, he knows Krishna, who's everything. More than that, Mother Jasoda probably doesn't know as much as we do about Krishna. If you ask Mother Jasoda, can you name the quadruple expansions from Krishna, the second quadruple expansions, and where they're situated in the Vaikuntha planets, she'll look at you like you're crazy. Of course, we are crazy, so it's normal that she look at us like we're crazy. She may not know as much as the philosophy about Krishna consciousness as we do. We tell Mother Jasoda, you're a great devotee, but you're situated under Yogamaya, therefore you think that this little boy is Krishna. But actually, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if you ask him to open his mouth, I guarantee you, you'll see all the universes inside his mouth, including you. So you're identifying yourself as Krishna's mother, you're under illusion. Of course, it's a nice illusion, so I don't want to spoil your illusion, but it's an illusion. So take this book, read about it, it's called, and give a donation. No, we may know more in one sense about the seemingly know more about the philosophy of the Mother Jasoda, but actually she's in love with Krishna, therefore she actually understands the philosophy. Iti guyatama shastram. Idam yuktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat krita kritascha bharata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature, and anyone who knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So we don't have to learn so many things. We just have to learn how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna. Not just, oh Krishna, I love you, I love you. No, we have to learn how to serve Krishna. Of course, just like I heard that you were hearing from Dinabandhu Prabhu about Braj Leela, so we should know where we're trying to go. But at the same time, we should know how to get there too. Just hearing about Braj Leela will not bring us to Braj Leela. We have to also, in this age, we have to serve the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to serve Braj Leela as it's being manifested in this world. Braj Leela is made accessible to us in this world by the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we engage this body, not our body, if we engage the body, Krishna's body, in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, that if we have that desire to do that, then we'll also simultaneously enter into the actual Braj Leela. When we become a perfect instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness, we'll become perfectly eligible to go back, to actually come to the spiritual platform and remember us spontaneously and enter into the pastimes of Krishna and Braj also. But if we only hear about Braj Leela and we don't serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in this age, it'll just like licking the bottle of honey. The bottle of honey has honey in it. It's certainly sweet. But if we don't go inside the bottle and we simply lick it from the outside, we won't be able to actually taste its sweetness. So Krishna himself comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to relish Braj Leela. And therefore, if we want to relish Braj Leela, we have to become a servant of the servant of the servants of the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, the perfect servant was Srila Prabhupada, and he manifested Braj Leela in this world by expanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission all over the world. So we may not be able to do that, at least we should expand it within our house. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, whenever I enter into my house, the Charanamrita in there turns into the river Ganges, and I feel like I'm swimming in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So that we have to become convinced of. Varna and ashram, we're not really very much interested in, especially in terms of trying to perform yagas in order to get rain, or to go to the heavenly planets, or to get mystic powers, or to get liberation, which is what varna and ashram leads one to the liberation. But we're interested in varna ashram because it helps us control our mind and senses so we can utilize them in Krishna's service, especially in the Sankirtan movement. As soon as we forget the Sankirtan movement, we'll forget Krishna, and as soon as we forget Krishna, whatever we're doing will ultimately just be a waste of time. But we utilize so many things, Nirbandha, Krishna Sambandhe, Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. We can utilize so many things in the service of Krishna if they help us expand the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted so many things we utilize in Krishna's service. Not only varna and ashram, but theater, art, music, drama, especially distribution of transcendental literatures, so that people become convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the aim. Vedaischa savara hame vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. That's the aim of all the Vedas. So that's what we're trying to do. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Convince people that Krishna is God, and that's done by service, bhakti mam abhijananti. We can understand the tattva by service, and that service is the Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada wanted all of us, to go and distribute books. Not all the time. We have so many other things to do. But sometimes. Why? Why did Prabhupada want that to happen? Because it's a challenge to our minds. It takes us out of our complacency. It means we realize right away how insignificant we are. How we have our false ego, we're imagining I'm this and that. You know, I'm a senior devotee, I have so many talents, I'm the head of this, I'm head of that. I chant so many rounds a day. And you go out on the street and people think you're nothing. That's why we don't like it. Immediately, our false ego is endangered. That it means nothing to people, whoever we think we are. And the only shelter we have, we can't show them our japa beads and they just fall down the street and surrender. We can't show them the Sankirtan newsletter and show them how many books we distributed last week and ask him to help us out this week. Take a book and buy it. Couldn't care less. The only shelter we have is the Supreme Lord. The intelligence is a spiritual energy. He manifests, if that's what we want, to help the conditioned souls go back to the spiritual world. If that's our desire. Therefore, it's an opportunity. Or, if we can't do that, at least Harinam, Prasadam distribution, or give some money for the book distribution, give some energy for the drama, the art, the music, something, not only amongst ourselves, Parashparam, which is important, but also for innocent people. We have to relish Krishna consciousness amongst ourselves, or else we won't understand what we're trying to give to others. But we should know we have the most valuable asset, Krishna, the most valuable gift to give to others, the only thing that will make anyone happy, either in the spiritual or in the material world, is Krishna and service to Krishna. So we have to perform that service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission that will make us happy, and we should offer that mission to others too. We're not simply trying to get them to take a book. We're interested ultimately to engage ourselves and everyone we meet, to engage them in Krishna's service. As Prabhupada told when Ramaswarapuru was the head of the BBT, and there was some controversy about whether the book distributors are just like the gopis, bringing Krishna the gopis, they like to bring others to Krishna. They take more pleasure in bringing others to Krishna than they have in personally associating with Krishna. As a matter of fact, the followers of Rupa Goswami generally are, many of them are Manjaris, which means that they're a little younger than Srimati Radharani, and they have no desire at all to associate with Krishna directly. Alone, especially. Because they know that the person who gives them the most pleasure, the devotee who gives Krishna the most pleasure, practically the only person who can actually satisfy Krishna, is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, they have no desire for personal association with Krishna. They only desire to please Krishna by serving Srimati Radharani. They want Krishna's happiness, and they know the best way of getting Krishna's happiness is by serving Srimati Radharani. There can be no better way. So service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srimati Radharani in this age, is service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. So Ramaswarapuru was saying that this book distribution is in the same mood, because all the preaching is in the same mood, of trying to connect others with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, there was some controversy, they always didn't agree with that, that book distribution is such an elevated service. But Prabhupada said, yes, he has understood correctly. And why the book distribution? Because everything else won't make any sense to anyone unless there is books distributed. This is transcendental knowledge. Everything is expanding through these books, through this transcendental knowledge. And then the art, the music, the culture, everything will make sense if people have transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. It seems like nonsense to people. Therefore, although we were trying to, Prabhupada wanted a cultural revolution, he wanted it to be headed by the distribution of transcendental knowledge, especially ultimately convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we can inspire so many others to also take part. Not only the devotees of ISKCON, which is the first ones we should try to inspire to take part in the movement. So our movement actually starts moving in the right direction. And at the same time, if we start moving in the right direction, like Jagannath was moving towards the Gaudiya temple, then we can inspire other groups, even the other Vaishnavas, who we generally like to fight with, because when we get bored, we like to fight. But when we're actually moving forward, so others will join us Even other religious communities will join us. And indeed, all religious people will join us, just convince the world that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should engage our energies in that movement of worshiping Krishna by serving the Sankirtan movement. Then we'll see, understand what the proper position of the Vedas are, and we won't become distracted by them. What to speak of being distracted just by ordinary eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments? Did you have a comment? Or do you have any comments? Sarveshwar?
What is interesting what you were saying to me, especially because yesterday I did teach or an ashram lesson in my series. And I was making the point, I don't think it contradicts what you were saying, I think it complements maybe what you were saying, so maybe they're useful. That the more we actually able to show the culture in the books, the more people will read the books.
Yeah, of course.
It's theoretical. So I find it's useful.
Yeah, of course, that's what we're trying to manage. But our Vanashram that's described in the books is Daivi Vanashram, aiming at Krishna.
Yeah, we talked about the three kinds of Vanashram. Not interested in plastic, Vedic, dormant, materialistic. He's interested in divine Vanashram, the Vanashram that gets us from this world to that world. It was interesting hearing you speak.
Well, that's
they won't read the books.
Yeah, well, that's why the Cultural Revolution has to be there.
Yeah, they go together.
Yeah. Otherwise, probably he wouldn't have had a movement, just a book publication.
Just a book, yeah. He wouldn't have had his kind. He would have just had the BBT.
But the movement is a revolutionary movement. So the revolution is that everyone's using their talents and energies in the service of convincing people, including themselves, that Krishna is God. Everything should be utilized in Krishna's service in this age, especially for the chanting of the holy names.
Thank you. I think we had a question here.
Yes.
Haribol, I would like to have a comment about following four regulative principles. We had a conversation, and I inform you about homosexuality going on in Guru Room.
What was that?
Homosexuality going on in Guru Room.
Yeah.
You remember, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and at some point you asked me if that person violated any regulative principles.
Is that what?
If that person violated any regulative principle.
Violated, yes.
And the answer is yes. I was a little bit surprised that you cannot discriminate what is following and violating regulative principles when you ask me that. So, my first question is, why you ask me this? How come that you didn't know that he was not following regulative principles? The second question is, why had to aspiring neophyte devotee deal with such kind of things and solving instead of GBC? And the third question is, who among the leaders should accept any responsibilities that stuff like that is going on in ISKCON temples? Thank you.
Well, I guess the first answer to the question is that I'm not omniscient. Therefore, generally we have to ask questions. Second thing is that these things should probably be discussed amongst persons who have responsible, such as the temple president. And I don't think we're going to solve this particular issue during the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So it's still an issue, then you should probably discuss it with the leadership here.
They were ignoring.
What's that?
They were ignoring at the beginning.
I know, whatever. It's whatever happened, forget about the past that sleeps, nor the future dream, and live with these times that are thee now, and progress thee will call.
as the past will continue to happen if nothing's changed.
Yeah, sure, something should be done.
And now who's responsible among the leaders, if anyone?
Well, I guess you have to ask the temple president. He's right back there. We have to discuss it. Anyhow, this is something to discuss outside of class. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.